Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
It's like pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I had an idea like that once, a long time ago.
Really? What was it, Tom?
Well, all right. It was a jump to conclusions mat. You see, it would be this mat that you would put on the floor and would have different conclusions written on it that you could jump to.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
Yes. Yes, it's horrible.
Get it?
Well, you know, I think the only conclusion would be that you land. That's it.
No, there would be conclusions.
Of course there would be.
And then jump to them.
Of course.
It's a jump to conclusions map. Get it?
Of course. I think it's a great idea for myself.
Uh-oh.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Uh-oh.
That was yesterday. Oh, shoot.
Breaking news.
Crap the bed. Look out, everyone.
Minnesota Timberwolves today announced center Nikola Pekovic will undergo a debridement in repair of his right Achilles. Do you know what that means? A debridement? Am I even saying that correctly?
I want to say that it's like meshing and re...
So taking it off and putting it back.
Yeah, kind of twisting it around.
Perfect.
And making it like a braid.
Surgery.
Putting it back and stapling
it
back.
Great.
You have to drill a hole and run the Achilles tendon through there, too.
That may fix it.
Ew.
Surgery to be performed next Wednesday by Dr. Robert Anderson. You know where that is? Who that is?
I don't know
why I rolled the R. I don't think he's Spanish
descent. I don't think he is.
Robert Anderson. Ortho Carolina in Charlotte, North Carolina. Pekovic sidelined for the remainder of the season. No way. You're kidding me. The big pecker.
I think that...
The bright...
Why doesn't Anders do it? He does all those. Come on.
Dr. James Andrews.
He always does them. Why is the big pecker going to the other guy?
You know what really grinds my gears?
Tell me.
Robert Anderson.
Well, I hope Peck gets okay, man. I mean, I really do.
He's been in a lot of pain.
Well, yeah, I hope he...
I hope he's okay as well. I don't even think that's English.
I hope he gets better okay. There, that's better.
What?
The most better he can get. The bestest. And you're the most funniest person I've known in a long time.
You're funny looking.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, let's get down to business. We have a radio show to do here.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I'm sick of you just messing around like crazy. It just drives me absolutely up the wall.
I was just trying to follow the flow of kind of where that was going with the jumping to...
Conclusions, man?
Conclusions. Yeah. And I was trying to help out. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Did Peck fall off the table?
The Vikings have waived quarterback Pat Devlin.
Now what the hell are we going to do?
Well, we signed Mike Kafka yesterday.
You know, that'll be the kind of guy someday where down the road he'll end up with a team, starting quarterback, 5 Super Bowls. Everyone will go, see, that was one of our guys. Mm. We had him right here. Just like Moss, just like Garnett, just like Big Pappy, just like Ray Allen.
Hmm.
What was his name again?
Who?
That Devlin guy?
Pat Devlin.
Oh, Pat Devlin. Yeah, that's the one they're going to regret someday.
according to the Dallas Morning News, we talked about this yesterday.
I don't know the goose down there.
Tony Romo.
Okay.
Restructured his contract,
yes,
freed up $12.8 million. Adrian Peterson. Owed $12.75 million next year.
Hmm.
According to this guy from the Dallas Morning News, he says, Adrian Peterson, come on down!
Is that Rick Gosling? Is it Rick?
No, it's Tim Kalishaw. Kalishaw. Okay. I think he's on one of the things, PTI or something like that.
Okay. Well, I kind of think that they're doing that. Now, they're not going to show their hand. We talked about that yesterday. But no other team is going to really show that they're going to be in with the Cowboys if they even did tip their hand. But I think he's going somewhere. And for this kind of thing to happen, you know, the offseason waning thin, the free agents, the veteran free agents kind of pick through for Dallas now to go out and do that. They've got cap issues, no question about it. But still, you don't go and ask your starting quarterback to do that right now, do you? Unless you have a plan for that kind of player.
Mm. Well, it's win now for the Dallas Cowboys. And Tim Galishaw says the one-year deal they gave to Rolando McClain, agreed to yesterday, indicates the team remains troubled by a shaky pass. No doubt about that. The one-year contract that they gave defensive end Greg Hardy, signed 2 weeks ago, clearly nothing more than a short-term rental. The crowning blow was the Romo restructuring. It makes the pursuit of Peterson all the more interesting and potentially dangerous. Even if the Cowboys are agreeable to dealing with Peterson's current contract, one that makes him the league's highest-paid running back by a wide margin, they certainly might not fulfill all 3 years on the deal, obviously. So, again, Peterson would go to Dallas as something of a rental. Is going for so many home runs at once, Hardy, McClain, and then Peterson, a terrible idea, is what he's asking this morning? Not necessarily, he says, because it's good any professional sport to have key players performing in their contract years. I mean, look at the stats last year of DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant.
And they lit it up, both of them. I mean, DeMarco, even with a broken hand late in the season, he ended up being the season leading rusher, and then Dez Bryant. He's gotten better every year.
I think the best part of this article in Dallas Morning News, which you can find at TwinCities.com, by the way, Tim Collishaw says, but when you're pushing that much money into the future for Tony Romo, which has just got, I mean, it's like, I want to say like $19 million in dead cap space that they're when Tony Romo retires, it's obvious the team is thinking about 2015 and 2015 only. That's why I think that if the Dallas Cowboys can, I mean, and the Minnesota Vikings don't want to trade him to Dallas by any means.
I can't imagine they would.
But if they come up with two draft picks, which I almost feel like the pressure's on them, if they want Adrian Peterson, they're going to have to put up or shut up. I mean, what they're doing, they're win this year, they're win now. They need Adrian Peterson. Darren McFadden is your running back? That's not going to get it done.
No go. You talk about someone who's fragile, never healthy. McFadden, out of Arkansas. I liked him coming out of Arkansas. I thought he was a great player, and it just didn't work out, much the way Reggie Bush just can't stay on the football field. Dynamic player when he's healthy, but it's not, he doesn't have the body to hold up for a whole season. Few do. Adrian Peterson, no different. I mean, he runs so hard, he hurts himself, I think.
According to the Dallas Morning News, he says, if the Cowboys are giving the Vikings indications they would be willing to take Peterson under the current contract terms, then we know they are deadly serious about making this happen. At that point, it becomes an internal battle for the Vikings with Mike Zimmer, the longtime Dallas coordinator, trying to succeed in his long-awaited head coaching opportunity, while obviously wanting to keep his best player while management tries to move beyond last year's ugliness in Minnesota. Peterson will not bring a Herschel Walker-like bounty of picks from Dallas or any other team. May not even bring a first-round pick. Well, then we're not going to trade him.
No.
The Vikings will not lease one first-round pick. But he goes on to say, if that's the case, do the Vikings decide they're better off living with a player who doesn't really want to be there? And the answer is yes. Yes.
Probably is. I mean, I don't know what he would come. The one thing you can always bank on, and we've said it over and over again, is that you force him to come back and he finally decides to pick up his helmet and go out there and play. He's not the kind of guy that's going to sit back and tank, or I'm pouting and I'm not going to run hard. That just won't happen.
Because it only makes him look like a douche if he's fumbling or he's not running very well.
He's all about throwing down. He wants to put some numbers up. He wants to get some yards and chase down Emmitt Smith and that whole thing. He's not going to go out there and lay an egg. So, I mean, if they force him to do this thing, I think we get the genuine article. I just hope that he's healthy.
Tim Collishaw is wrapping up the article saying, much of this simply is Minnesota's problem. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. But it becomes a Cowboys issue if the club really didn't pursue retaining DeMarco Murray because it was holding out hope of hitting a home run with Peterson. I don't think it's our problem at all. I think we have Adrian Peterson under contract. He's going to come back and play for the Minnesota Vikings unless we get an unbelievable package back in return for a trade.
There isn't an NFL team. There's no NFL team out there that wouldn't be doing the same thing, executing the same leverage against, you know, AP.
Think about this. Think about signing Greg Hardy, franchising Dez Bryant, restructuring Tony Romo, re-signing Rolando McClain, a swing and a miss on Adrian Peterson for the Dallas Cowboys, who look to be legit everywhere else on the field. On Adrian Peterson, leaves him with Darren McFadden and Joseph Randall in the backfield.
Yeah. Well, they picked up McFadden, hoping that maybe they can squeeze some yards out of him. He's an insurance guy to relieve Peterson. They had no intention.
But he's a dumpster fire.
Of course he is.
He was a first-round draft pick. And what has he done?
Not much. He's had some decent spurts in his career, but not much. He's been basically a disappointment. But he was a good back coming out of college.
3 years.
I think he's just had so much trouble with injury.
3 years in the NFL?
Who, McFadden?
Is that right?
Oh, no. He's played longer than that.
What is going on here? Career statistics. Oh.
Yeah, he's been around longer than that.
Yeah.
However, he probably only has 3 years cumulative on the field, though. That's probably true. He's probably only got about three actual seasons in out of his 20. Out of his 20 seasons. No, it would be more accurate, I think, if he was like 7 or 8 years in the league. But I think he was, you know, Jerry Jones is the kind of guy that needs to make a splash. It isn't McFadden. We know that. That is not a splash. That is not going to make anyone happy in Texas who comes out to watch the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, DeMarco Murray's gone. Who do we have? Oh, McFadden. Huh. Yeah, we're happy.
So he's played 7 years in the NFL.
That's what I thought.
Listen to this. These are the yards he's gained per season. Rookie year, 2008, 499 yards.
Yeah.
2009, 357 yards. 2010, 1,157 yards.
Yeah.
2011, 614 yards. 2012, 707 yards. 2013, 379 yards. 2014, 534 yards.
Yeah, he's never there. He never, ever answers the bell. He can't. I mean, I feel for the guy. I think he's had more injuries than any running back I've ever heard of, and he's always sitting on the bench.
He's 1 for 3 throwing the ball, by the way.
Which is pretty good.
16 yards, 1 touchdown.
33%.
91.7% quarterback rating.
He's fairly accurate. He's relatively accurate. Would have been too bad if the other two had been intercepted, though.
He's had 16 combined tackles, 15 solo tackles. Must have put him on special teams.
No, I'll tell you what it was. Probably every single quarterback. Yeah, he's chasing down interceptions is what he's doing.
Darren McFadden.
He wouldn't be on special teams.
No, my goodness. It's just interesting the way this is all seeming to shake out.
I think it is. I think it truly is Dallas posturing for AP. It
has to be.
Because, I think so.
Because of what we do for a living, and people know who you are, and people are starting to learn who. I mean, in my neighborhood, anyways, I go to the corner store, I do this or do that, and friends call. I mean, this morning, my friends that are Viking fans, is this signaling that that the deal's done? It's basically a done deal, and they just had to restructure and make some money? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I don't think the Vikings want to trade Adrian Peterson at all, let alone to the Dallas Cowboys. And unless we get a massive deal in return, not saying a Herschel Walker trade, but I mean...
It'll never happen again.
A couple first-round draft picks? Late? 27th pick overall this year, and then with that all-star studded team, I mean...
You'll get another late one.
Yeah, it's going to be completely late.
It would be. You know that.
So why wouldn't the Dallas Cowboys just go ahead and do that? And would the Minnesota Vikings immediately say yes?
I think that they probably have something that they've talked about behind closed doors that we don't know about. No one's ever going to know about it until, like, I'm like Jim Rich, who kind of thinks it'll take place near the draft, maybe on draft day, when it comes time to start trading up and down, and there goes their first-round draft choice, and second, and then their first-round draft choice from 2016, and now we get Adrian Peterson. I can just hear it being announced.
Why on draft night, though? Why not just do it right now?
I think that's when they want to pull the trade. I don't know.
Who's
pull
this
thing on it. The Cowboys.
Why on draft night, though? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does. I mean, I think that's when you make the number one for the two number ones.
Yeah.
Because they know what they would have by the draft. They know what's going on by the day of the draft. And what's available to them at the time the Vikings pick and or when they pick at 27. I think that the picture comes together. The puzzle comes together for them to be able to make a decision then.
Are you high?
Of course I'm high. On crack.
Just checking.
Crack don't smoke itself.
Now tell me about Monster Jam. How do you win at the Monster Jam?
You win because you come here and it's awesome.
Ah. But like, how does the drivers win? How do you win the race or whatever?
You win because you're a fan cheer, you won. The biggest fan cheer is a winner.
That's how you get points, is by fan cheer.
Yes. The winner of the most cheers is a Medusa. She's not even doing.
Who's the guy in the background trying to help her out? He's worse. And he's worse.
Her husband.
What did Lou Holtz say about that? He tried to clear it up.
Well, I don't get to break my income.
Well, now
all right, all right, all right.
Thank you.
Complete sense.
Thank you.
Complete sense.
Heck
of a show today. We got to get rolling, but we're going to talk about Wild potential playoff matchups coming up next. I'm going to ask you 4.5 questions at some point. in detail about the four major professional sporting franchises. We have a pretty a massive college just down the road here. It's called the University of Minnesota. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I've driven past it.
We're going to grade the Twins spring training. We'll talk to Dane Brugler, my favorite guy. Got to get an updated senior NFL draft analyst, a mock draft he comes out with every week for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Your guy, Jim Rich. Your guy, Mike Berardino. Your guy, Chris Shad, coming up. And with all the free all agency moves that the Minnesota Vikings have made, we're going to run through the offense and defensive depth chart.
And I've got a couple things I wanted to talk about a little bit today. Also, the people who have been hurting themselves and helping themselves the most during pro days. That's a pretty good list or two that you'd like to see. Who's rising, who's falling, and also, what are the five best quarterback situations in the National Football League? Number one, two, punch. What are the best five choices or situations in the NFL? But we'll do all that. We'll come back. And, of course, wild potential playoff matchups. I can't wait to talk about this because I didn't think we'd be in them about 3 months ago. But we will do that right here at Radioactive Sports.
The fact that we got a lot of players that we know that we can plug in, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of things that aren't ideal. And the number of bodies for practice, the number of bodies for skates is a challenge. But the goal is to, obviously, number one, to get into the playoffs. And then once you do that, then we wouldn't be satisfied with that. And in order to have any kind of success, then depth is required, and we have that. So we just got to try to navigate around some things in the meantime.
Navigating is what he's good at. He puts together these lines. You want to skate for speed? We got a line that can do that. You want to go out there and throw down some fisticuffs? Mix it up a little bit? We got one of those lines, too. Jim Rich tells me all these things.
Jim Rich is a smart man, and he does...
He knows his hockey.
Was he telling you this yesterday? Because it might have been April Fool's.
It was not. It was not April Fool's. It was yesterday, though. But I agree. I mean, I think Yo's got to keep this thing leveled out and balanced, and I think he's doing a pretty good job of all that. I'm kind of big on him.
You would be. Doesn't surprise me. I still am iffy on him. I don't necessarily know that I like him a lot. I think they're winning despite him, but that's just me. 651-989-9105. Who do you want to see the Minnesota Wild play in the first round of the NHL playoffs? We're going to run down the four possibilities and the likelihood and the odds that they'll play these particular teams. But 651-989-9105, would love to hear.
I have some breaking news
heads.
Also, real quickly.
Oh, my
just
God.
Breaking news,
you
right
do,
away.
Are you being serious, or is this April 1st?
No, I think it's a big deal.
Rebecca?
Okay.
I think we buried the lead. The Reverend Robert H. Schuller has passed away at the meeting. Crystal Cathedral, gone. He told me his people reached out to me and said, you have to lose that name on your radio show. I used to call it the Hour of Power, and he was already using
really?
That. He said, you got to get rid of that.
That's funny.
Well,
did you say, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, I did. I wish I had. They said that. No go.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not Robert Shula.
That's not too soon. That's about right.
Hardwood Rob's dad. You know Hardwood Rob?
Of course I do.
His dad's drummer passed away the other day. And Hardwood Rob was telling me, he was talking to his dad. They asked his dad to do the eulogy, and his dad's kind of a funny guy.
I can't imagine that.
Kind of an interesting fellow. Love him to death.
You know Hardwood Rob, I got to think he gets it from someone.
Love him to death, but his dad is cracked. And he said, should I do a joke on the eulogy?
Oh,
and then he
God.
Said, and... Knock, knock. Well, the drummer's name was Jimmy. Knock, knock. Who's there? And he goes, not Jimmy.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Anyway, Minnesota Wild heading to the wild card right now, heading to the Stanley Cup playoffs here pretty soon. Best record since January 14th. Four possible playoff opponents: Anaheim, Chicago, Nashville, or St. Louis. Any ideas who you'd prefer out of those four?
We don't want any part of Anaheim.
No, I don't want any part of Anaheim.
I don't want any part of Anaheim. I think that there's something about the Blackhawks that seems really down right now.
Patrick Kane's been losing.
Yeah, they're down. I think that's the one you want. And get past that. That's been like the mind barrier.
I think we have the lowest chance of playing the Chicago Blackhawks because they're not that good, and we're going to face one of the top-tier teams.
I think so, too.
So when it comes to the Nashville Predators, they would be outside the Chicago Blackhawks, in my opinion, who are a long shot. I would like to play the Nashville Predators, and
I think so.
We have the highest odds of the while playing the Predators. Before, they have this BCAD back in the day.
Yep.
We're in the year 2015 of our Lord AD or something like that.
I think that's what Shuler told me.
We're doing BD and AD, before Dubnyk and after Dubnyk.
Oh, after the Dubs.
So, Nashville, before Dubnyk, we were 0-2. After Dubnyk, we've been 2-0. We play him one more time, April 9th, in Nashville. The odds we play him in the playoffs, 40%.
Why do you always have to go to their place?
Because we had two earlier in the season here in St. Paul.
Okay.
The Wild match up pretty well against the Predators, I would say. Their speed game, because we're a speed team as well. Better goal differential than Nashville. The Predators also a little slow when it comes to special teams, and their numbers ranking 24th in the power play, 14th in the penalty kill.
The funny thing about them also is that they try and punt the puck.
What?
Well, they're special teams, but they do it wrong. They get confused.
However, they do have one of the best goalies. And goalies, yeah, if you don't allow goals, you win games usually.
Surely.
Pecorini. And they have some of the most mobile defensemen in the NHL, which Ryan Suter used to be a part of. But I think
we where we match up. I think we have a little, like we were just saying. I mean, I think we have, due to the power rankings and what kind of came out in the power rankings when we were talking about that yesterday. And speaking of power rankings, by the way, your bicep is huge.
Thank you.
Is that we match up pretty well with anyone if you want to throw that kind of game out there. I think we can match almost anyone right now, and that's why I think they rank us so high at number one now.
Power rankings. How about the St. Louis Blues? Would you like to play them? Before Dubnyk, we were 0-1. And in fact, before Dubnyk, I want to say we hadn't beaten them.
Down there at their
place. Blues have dominated the Wild dating back to 2007. However, though, the Wild win in St. Louis 2 weeks ago, their first time in regulation in 8 years.
Yeah.
Blues, though, pretty physical.
They are.
Wild can't really match physical teams. That's the problem with the Wild. Though we did add Chris Stewart and Bergenheim, Ryan Carter, Matt Cook's coming back.
Cook's
so
back.
We can give them some mush right to their mouth. But St. Louis penalty kill, power play ranking, top 10 in the NHL.
Yeah,
very
rough.
Tough team.
They're rough.
But we've had some success with them.
Lately. With Dubs.
As of late.
With the Dubs in there.
We have one more game with the St. Louis Blues, April 11th. That's in St. Louis. Anaheim Ducks.
It was good.
Anaheim Ducks.
Ooh, yeah, I don't think so.
Team I do not want anything to do with, the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, I think you want to stay away from that outfit. That's what hockey people tell me. I mean, I've seen them play. I think they're huge. They're physical. That's enough for me. I mean, they're imposing.
If the Wild play the Anaheim Ducks in the first round, there's a better chance that they would face a lesser opponent in the second round, but that is if they get past the Anaheim Ducks, just by the way things are kind of shaken out here in the playoff bracket. The Wild 0-3 against Anaheim. Each loss, though, only by one goal. So as much as they look like they manhandle us, they push us into the boards, they crack our skulls, they outskill, they're big and fast, we hang in there.
I think, I really believe that you can match up with anyone, but that's still the last one you'd want to face. And if you're going to go to the Stanley Cup and you're going to win the whole thing, I mean, you have to beat everybody. I mean, you got to go through them.
Yeah, I don't know. The Ducks scare me. They have two of the NHL's best players, Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaff. Pretty strong defensive core led by Cam Fowler. And a pretty solid goaltending rotation. They scare me. I want nothing to do with the Anaheim Ducks.
Look, it's a good team. That's just not a good pairing for us. If we want to advance on, I'd like to build up some momentum and be able to get past one or two teams and then, you know, have at it.
Chicago, who we talked about earlier, we would like to play. Before Dubnyk, we were 0-3. After Dubnyk, we've been 1-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks. Play them one more time, April 7th in Chicago. The odds of us playing the Chicago Blackhawks in the playoffs, just about 10%. Because we're right, they're just not good enough. Because we're on the lower tier.
Right,
they've got to be on the top tier for us to play and match up, and it's just probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But Chicago Blackhawks, though, would be nice because they've knocked us out of the playoffs the last 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Most recently, that was a pretty good little scrum down last year to see who was going to get into the Stanley Cup.
But they don't have Patrick Kane, one of the NHL's top players. He's got that...
That's what Zucker has, right?
But they just aren't that dominant this season.
It's just not their year.
Jonathan Toews, though, he's pretty good. They still have him. They're a great team, even without Patrick Kane. But it's like the Minnesota Wild are a really good team, but imagine them without Ryan Suter or without Zach Parise or without Jason Zucker.
And we've been without. But as of this year, losing people hasn't affected us as much because of Dubnyk. Because he still stops everything that's thrown his way, so it's amazing what a good goaltender can do. It can make you look pretty good even when you're down a few bodies.
Dubinator was third star of the month last month in March. I mean, what more can the guy do? He was the first star of the month in February. I thought he got better in March, in my opinion.
I can't believe what he's done. He's a great story.
Don't you think he got robbed, though, by being named the third star? It's the first time a Wild player has been named a star of the month.
Yep.
Twice in one season.
It's incredible.
And the Dubinator's done it the two months that he's been here.
The guy is, he's fascinating.
He's Kurt Warner.
He is. He's out of nowhere. He gets his opportunity, and he's off and running. And, I mean, this has been nothing short of fascinating to watch one man make a difference in a team, a whole franchise. Now, you could say that other things came along because they finally filled in with a good goalie, an above-average goalie. Some other guys came to life when that happened. I'm not telling you how that happened, but it seemed like they were able to adjust and finally get back to what they do. I'm talking about the Vanek's. I'm talking about even the top guys just were not themselves until they got the goaltender.
Now, I don't necessarily know that Vanek had anything to do with it because he doesn't play defense anyway, so I mean, I don't think he necessarily worried
back,
about it.
It allowed him to get back into his thought process. I think everyone was preoccupied with a goalkeeper that wasn't going to protect the net.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that everyone else finally said, finally we can concentrate on what the hell we do out here and go play some hockey. I think Vanek finally found himself, but you know.
Well, Vanek decided to finally work hard and buy into the... I mean, we talk about Twins baseball all the time, and we talk about the Piranhas and getting back to doing the little nitty-gritty dirt band things that really matter. When you're a team that basically is coming from Minnesota when it's baseball and you're getting outspent by other major league franchises by hundreds of millions of dollars, you have to do the little things right. And I feel like that's the same way with the Minnesota Wild. It's a salary cap, and everybody's spending about the same, but... The way the team is led by Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, and the way they play both ways, they're two-way. A lot of them are two-way hockey players, and Vanek just isn't necessarily that kind of guy.
True,
but he's decided, hey, I'm gonna be nitty, I'm gonna be gritty, I'm gonna be a dirt band, and we're gonna do this thing.
I think he's actually figured it out, and they even said that they took him in and played some video of him not doing what they want him to do. Here's what we want you to do.
Here, look.
Here, try this.
You're a dumbass.
Look at this.
Don't do that anymore.
This is what we call not trying. Okay, we'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit about those 4.5 questions we always do right at about 4:30. In fact, exactly at 4:30. And I hope you get better.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Why?
I hope you get better like Pekovic.
Thank you.
I don't think that's the way you say it, though.
Thank you?
Thank you.
I mean, I don't get it. What?
You didn't get it. It went straight over your head again. Oh, well. That's what I deal with, everybody. 4.5 questions.
With the Twins, they're going to have to experience some growth this year and then use that as a platform for the following year. I don't think it's not impossible that they couldn't contend this year, but a lot of things would have to go right. And I think once they're seasoned a little bit with that feeling of Torrey Hunter and the new manager and the new system, watch out for next year.
Well, here's how it goes. It's about 4:30, close enough. 4:31, give or take, okay? We always play 4.5 questions where Ben Holson will ask me 4 questions. They'll give you a little short, sort of a half question. I'll give him a one-word response, and then I'll explain it because I don't play it right. But but this time, I want to do it differently.
Oh, really? Okay.
Make these things interesting.
They always are.
Okay. I'm just kidding. I'm giving you bad time.
You ready?
Yes, I am. I'm ready to go.
4.5 questions. Number one, yesterday we played, obviously, a bunch of audio that I just played there from John Smoltz from the MLB Network, in which they're talking about the Twins, and that they're going to probably finish around 500 in this upcoming season, according to these guys on MLB Network, completely disagreeing with Baseball Prospectus, the online website, and the Las Vegas odds. Smoltz said the playoff teams won't want to play the Twins in the second half of the season, especially if Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano are in the bigs. While I certainly think the Twins have no other option than to improve on their four-year, 90-loss season in a row, by the way, I'm tempering my enthusiasm for the team because there are so many unknowns and what-ifs, which we also went through yesterday. I'm ecstatic for opening day. Can't wait to watch as many games as possible this summer. However, my thinking is my thinking flawed, is the question, that if Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano are up with the real Twins in the second half, that means the Twins are struggling and just playing for the future if that happens? Kind of like the Timberwolves
I don't think so. I think that when they're ready, they're ready. And who knows what position we'll be in second half of the season ourselves. I mean, you just don't know.
Because if we're really good in the second half of the season, then there's no need to bring these guys up.
They're not going to bring them up. Or whatever else. I mean, anything could happen where those guys would have to be brought up, maybe.
But Buxton will be brought up, I would imagine, before Miguel Sano would, because there's just a massive gaping hole in center field.
No question.
Whereas Trevor Plouffe can hold it down at third base.
I was watching a different game yesterday, I thought it was from camp, from spring training. Here's how I see it. The reason I think Smoltz said it was because he felt like the younger guys have nothing to lose. They have nothing, everything to gain and to prove themselves. Other teams are either, you know, in it and it's over with and done with. They don't have to play the last game so hard. Who knows? But that's why he said it. And I think that he's probably right on that, is that a younger team with just going out there and playing baseball and not having any pressure on them, they stand a pretty good chance to start making good things happen, which is what we're hoping for, is dynamic play from those two guys. They've been compared to Mike Trout and Bryce Harper. Thank you.
Yeah, those guys are pretty good.
They have the top 100 Major League Baseball players today announced. Top 100 Major League Baseball players. We didn't have any. We had zero.
Doesn't surprise me. Where's Joe Mauer?
He's not on the list.
He's one of the top paid players, though, in Major League Baseball.
Oh, my God,
so
yes.
You would think that you pay if the thing. And that's why you don't give baseball players long-term money. Okay, did it work out for Alex Rodriguez? Is it working out for CC Sabathia? Teixeira, any of the Yankees, any of those guys that play out their massive contracts? Place. Don't do it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't do it. Question two, the Timberwolves. We were at Hubert's last night, Wolves Wednesday. They played the Toronto Raptors. At times, it seemed as if the game was in Toronto. I mean, we saw so many Toronto Raptors fans yesterday in Toronto Raptors gear. It was ridiculous. The Timberwolves again played with eight players. One body that I hope the Wolves get a chance to draft is Cat. Known as the Usanapi name number two or the center for Kentucky. More and more mock drafts and NBA insiders are coming to the conclusion that he is better than Duke's center, yet you refuse the facts. Everything I'm reading today is going my way, completely refuting what you say. Your head in the sand.
Who are they?
NBA.com, NBA mock draft people, all the people that we talk to.
You can show me that those are the people that are actually saying that.
Mm-hmm. Bleacher Report? You like Bleacher Report?
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Bleacher Report now has the Usanapi name number two going number one overall to the New York Knicks, and your guy falling to the Timberwolves at number two, which you would like and I would despise. But talking about all this stuff, you put your head in the sand.
A little bit for them to be able to turn all this around so soon.
You're spitting loogies at me every time I try to tell you the truth. How can we settle this argument?
Out on the street.
No.
Or out in the parking lot.
No. Does Cat have to beat Duke Center in the championship game next week?
Bottom line.
Does he have to be drafted before your guy? Does he have to have a better NBA career? What is the finish line, and when will I be able to say, neener, neener, ha-ha, I told you so?
They go head-to-head. We'll put their numbers against, it'll be apples to apples if they show up in the championship game. I'm hoping that turns out to be the way it works out, with Kentucky squaring off against Duke, and then, of course, Kentucky winning. I just don't really want Cat to have a better game than Dog.
Well, here's the deal. I think that you're going to be running up against a buzzsaw there in the championship game, because Kentucky has two bigs, Cauley Stein and the who should not be named number two. They'll double-team him, just like Utah and Gonzaga double-teamed the Duke center. We're not saying their names. We don't want to jinx the Minnesota Timberwolves. So if you're listening in your car...
I don't want anyone to know. Yeah. We want Dog.
No, Cat.
We don't really... You want Cat.
The Wildcat. That's who I want.
I just want the Kentucky Wildcats to win. Done deal. Now, I hated doing that, though, because it's against Tyus Jones, and I can say that, and Dog, who I love.
You're a nutcase.
I'm a Dog lover.
Question three, so am I, but not that Dog. The Wild have been through the meat grinder and, more importantly, have ridden goalie Devin Dubnyk for the last 2.5 months since the Dubinator has been here with the club after being traded from Phoenix. Since Saturday, though, the Wild haven't played a game until tonight when they host the New York Rangers. All eyes remain on the Dubinator, Zach Parise, Mike Yeo, the rest of the guys to see how they finish this regular season. This morning, though, Mike Yeo said the team won't be satisfied just getting into the playoffs. They want to make some noise. I think fans would agree with that. With the latest power rankings rating them the number one team in hockey right now, and the fact that we just went through the Wild's four possible playoff matchups, If the Wild win the Stanley Cup, does that change your level of interest in hockey and the team, or will it go back to being your fourth favorite sport and team in town? Because right now, you and I both admitted a different matchup, but the Wild, in our opinions, rank fourth.
I thought I put Twins last.
Oh, did you put the Twins last? Yeah. Okay, so they're third for you. Would they move up in the standings or in your standings? Because I think you have what? Vikings, Timberwolves, Wild, Twins. I have Vikings, Timberwolves, Twins, Wild.
Yeah, probably would. I think it probably would, to be honest. I love watching it. I mean, I really do love watching these guys. The Minnesota Wild are exciting. They've brought a lot to my interest level on hockey. I mean, I just wasn't into it for the longest time.
Because you probably didn't know as much.
I'm
from Southern Minnesota. So it's like
we didn't have hockey in high school. High school. I mean, it was basketball. It was wrestling was the big thing. Mm. Not hockey. It was wrestling down in Iowa. But I have really become a big hockey fan. I'm not a fanatic, so but I'm a fan, and it's unbelievable what they do and how athletic they are and how they skate and perform on skates like that. It's amazing how good they are athletically.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that.
I love it to death. It's so intricate, though, and it took me a while because I would get so frustrated going, well, okay, why are they throwing the puck behind the net over there and the forecheck and this and that, all these terms that I had no idea what was going on.
I'm still getting there.
I felt like an idiot. But, yeah, watching playoff hockey the last couple of years in 2003.
Love it.
That's when I fell in love. And we're going to get
with
married.
Colorado or, yeah. With the Lanch?
Bertuzzi.
Back in 03? Yeah, it's Todd Bertuzzi.
That's son
jackass, son of a bitch.
Question four, Alabama's basketball program failed to land their number one choice for their head coach. Wichita State gave Greg Marshall buttloads of money to stay, which he did. I don't blame him.
7 years, I think $3.5 million average per year.
And, I mean, the cost of living in Wichita is nothing. I mean, they still have nickel and dime stores down there,
like
for God's sake.
In Wichita. What they should do is go out and get Saban. Just make him double up for the money he's making. Get Saban in there.
Alabama's focus now goes to their second-tier choice, including Gopher men's basketball head coach Richard Pitino. He's expected to fly today with his coaching staff to Indianapolis for the Final Four. He has 4 years left on the six-year contract. Do you think Pitino would leave the U after spending only 2 years here, finally getting a top 25 recruiting class, which he has coming in next year, while saying he loves it in Dinkytown, doesn't plan on leaving? And what would Norwood Teague, the athletic director, do if Pitino left? Because he'd be screwed.
Well, I think he would probably go knock on Pitino's door as he's loading boxes and trying to get his office out of there. And when he answers the door, I think that he just jumps him. Or that, too. Maybe unloads on him. I don't know.
Cool whip. Cool whip. Cool whip. Cool whip. Cool whip. Cool whip. Cool whip.
I got that one. I would say this. I don't think he's going to do that. I really don't.
I hope not.
I really think that he knows and understands. He better stick around for a little while and at least make himself a name for himself, not his father make a name for him with his name. You can't go to Alabama and suck. That's two schools in a row that you jack around. Take your chances with the kids that you've brought in here now. That's supposedly a pretty good class.
A top 25 recruiting class. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I'm sure he knows what he's banking on. Down the road, when he does decide to get a coaching change out of this thing, he's going to have real numbers and a little advancement in the tournament, not the NIT tournament.
And while he's finally building something here at the University of Minnesota, though, just as you're starting to get your guys in here, top 25 recruiting class, Dorsey, that guard who's a four-star recruit,
and some
of these other guys that we saw last year with Bakari Kanate and your guy, Shushish, is his name?
It's from Poland.
Yeah. Now's not the time to leave, man.
It's not, and he knows it.
Richard,
he can go down there all he wants, and he can make it look like for the upcoming years that he's been in the running for a new head coaching position. It's kind of nice to have your feelers out all the time, but he wants to come back here and dominate.
I would hope so.
And he has to do it with this class, and they're not going to follow him to Alabama.
It's not like Alabama, I mean, they fired their coach because their team's not good. It's not like they're an NCAA-ready team by any means.
He's got to create this thing. He's got to build this up, and then he'll have a shot. Add real money, big money.
He's got to build it up, Buttercup. Baby, don't you let him down.
Is that a song?
No. I just made that up.
Do you have a half question?
I do have a half question.
You
Twins... want to... Twin spring training ends the end of this week. What kind of grade would you put on the Twins so far? Down there in Fort Myers, Florida.
Based on what we hear every day.
Mm-hmm.
from, you know, Mike. I mean, you know Mike, right?
Well, I've heard of Mike.
I know. Yeah. Torrey Hunter was telling me about him.
I've heard of Mike.
What did he say? It was in the press conference. What do you call him?
I don't remember.
I remember like it was yesterday.
Oh, hey, yeah. Mike is kind of a prick, huh?
Yeah, that,
you're a prick,